Welcome back to AfterBuzz, the Donald Glover Atlanta After Show, Episode 7, BAN, B-A-N. It is an acronym. We'll be back with why right after.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, welcome to Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Glover's Atlanta, at least. And this is Episode 7, B-A-N. BAN, and it stands for Black American Network. And if you watch the episode, you'll know exactly why.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm your man, Chaos J, K-A-A-O-S-J. You know where to find me on Twitter. Let's get right into it, man.
And of course, I am Tehran, literally. I am Tehran, T-E-H-R-A-N, because I think, therefore, I am Tehran. Atlanta, Episode 7. What did you think?
Man, I wasn't expecting it, but I liked it. It was like, all I could think of was it kind of reminded me of like Saturday Night Live, where you think, okay, when they cut to a commercial break, for, you know, first off, the show opens up, you think, oh, they're cutting to a commercial break, but it's not a commercial. It's a fake commercial. I mean, it's a commercial, but it's like a commercial within the show. It's not a real commercial. So I liked the way that it was pretty much like one long running.
The episode actually has
I don't even have words for it.
And I'll say why. And the reason is, from the get-go, you notice that the Afrocentricness of the commercials is very apparent, right? So we're watching these commercials thinking that they're commercials, and as the show goes on, we realize that the commercials are actually part of the show. So it's actually, it's a layer within a layer. And we see this a lot on Black entertainment television channels anyway, or when TV shows are Black TV shows, they show a lot of Black commercials. In fact, we all grew up with Calvin, who worked at McDonald's. That was gearing McDonald's towards a Black audience, right?
Exactly.
We saw that today on Atlanta, where Atlanta took the form of the TV show Montague, hosted by a Franklin Montague, who was a play on all the Black typical, stereotypical hosts.
Right. Tavis Smiley.
Anyone in that space. In that space where it's like a Bryant Gumbel, where they're not as urban, quote unquote, as a lot of the other hosts or predominant characters on television that portray Black people. In fact, in a lot of ways, they're seen as sellouts because of the way they speak and act and dress and the messages that they convey.
Or Uncle Tom's.
And that's the thing. And actually, it's ironic because if you actually read Uncle Tom's Cabin, you would have realized that Uncle Tom was a Black savior and not a Black sellout. But a lot of people just took that stereotype and ran with it, right? So here we have Franklin Montague, who's playing this Bryant Gumbel, Tavis Smiley character, very typically what we would consider whitewashed in a lot of ways, as he hosts the show Montague. And Montague is a topical show which addresses serious issues. Their guest this week happened to be Dr. Holt, a feminist doctor who deals with transgender issues and social issues all across the board. And our favorite rapper, yours
Paper
and mine,
Boy.
Paperboy. Paperboy sitting across because of apparently some tweets that he had sent out, plus content of his lyrics, which Dr. Holt actually speaks about. And the tweet, we don't know what the exact tweet is verbatim. Like, we hear the gist of one of the tweets where he basically comments on Caitlyn Jenner and how he wouldn't sleep with Caitlyn Jenner and thinks it's weird that Caitlyn Jenner is a transitioning male to female. And the concept of the entire show is about freedom of speech and political correctness, but trans issues and transracial issues, which ironically, the board and AfterBuzz TV and Black Hollywood, as we joined to watch the show, we were talking about those exact same issues right before the show.
Literally right before the show happened.
Exactly.
I walked in late on the conversation, but I still got the gist of it. And then to go from hearing you guys talk about it, and then the show literally covers
immediately
everything. It was almost like the show was written right off top, right off the cuff of what y'all were talking about.
Which shows you how topical Atlanta is It took topics that were very relevant to transgender and transracial coming off Rachel Dolezal, and they portrayed it with Harrison Booth, who was a Black youth who felt white.
He was a 35-year-old white man from Denver, Colorado.
In his body, even though he was like a 22-year-old Black kid from the suburbs of Atlanta, right? And then you go across, and there was talk about Caitlyn Jenner and Paperboy talking about how he just doesn't feel like he cares about Caitlyn Jenner because it doesn't really pertain to him.
Exactly. And another thing he said was, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what he said verbatim, but he was basically saying, like, why should I be concerned about whether or not Caitlyn Jenner gets equal rights when I don't even get equal rights as a black man?
And that's like all she, this packed
like,
into one.
Like, she's not getting equal rights now as she's transitioning into a woman. When she had all the rights she could ever want as a regular man, and now she kind of forewent that to, you know, she kind of, you know, forsook those so that she could become a trans, you know, a transgender woman. And I'm a black man and I can't even get basic rights just being me. So why should I be concerned with her?
And it was very interesting. All this was packed into the show, a parody, right? The show that was within the show, Inception style of Montague. Montague came off. And we going back to the commercials, because there's layers to this. So we're going to just start with the commercials. The commercials was a basic layer of how, and BAN, Black American Network, was clearly a spoof of BET, obviously.
Right.
So it was like, just like, hey, there's a specific network for blacks and we're watching it. So the commercials are black, and we saw the commercials get more and more ridiculous as they aim it towards black, because we all know the Dodge Charger was the premier commercial, right? The Dodge Charger is a car that's aimed towards a black audience. Like, everyone knows that's the black cool car to have.
And guess what I drive?
A Charger.
A Charger.
That's
exactly.
Craziness. And it's because it really is geared. They went out of their way. Dodge went out of their way to gain a black audience for their vehicle. So, because it was someone that in a lot of ways is left out. They're left out of Mercedes and BMW commercials, Toyota commercials.
Lexus,
even.
Acura.
Exactly. So Dodge went after that market. And then we saw the commercial that it all led up to, which is there was a guy driving a Dodge Charger looking so cool, right?
Oh,
like a
dude.
Kelly cool.
Right?
Right? Driving the Dodge Charger and gets to the gas station. And
but
we
hold on, wait, before that, he goes through the city. So we
he
see what, two commercials?
We see, I think this was that was the third
that
commercial.
That was the third
so
was one, the final one. Yeah,
or
so
maybe four, because the first one we didn't even realize was part of the show.
We thought it was a regular commercial.
It was a regular commercial because it did come off that way.
And he, yeah, and it shows him. It just shows him driving. It's just like, you know, yeah,
listen,
you know,
to cool music.
Right, he's listening to cool music. He, you know, he's waving at the neighbors as he's driving through the
checking
hood.
Checking everyone out,
you know. And then, you know, and then, you know, if you're going to drive the best, you know, make it a Charger.
And it culminates to when he gets to the gas station, and a gentleman at the gas station is explaining to his friend or his family member, whoever it is, who says, oh my God, that's a cool looking car. Who's that? And it turns out to be this guy who lost his, you know, basically his family and his life to a divorce and didn't even have pants on when he's pumping gas because he lost everything, but he has this cool car.
And that
was a spectacle.
Right. And he even said, you know, yeah, like, you know, his wife left him for his best friend or his brother.
It was just a whole storyline.
Right. It was a whole storyline.
Took everything.
He said he didn't say anything the whole trial. And then at the very end, all he said was, leave me my Charger.
And that's how cool the Charger is supposed to be. But if you notice that the sentiment that it is that in a lot of ways, I know a situation where a lot of black Americans, they don't have a lot going for them or a lot of things, but they'll have a nice car. So that's what it was portraying, because it's like, this gentleman doesn't even have pants on, but he has a cool Dodge Charger. That's what it was basically saying.
You stay with your mama, but you got a Charger.
You know, and that's why it was so very real and the epitome of a lot of the existence we see it within black youth, where they care more about material things than actual things. And they have a lot of people have Land Rovers but don't own any land. And that's very interesting what we saw with that, right?
Right.
And then there was another commercial, the chocolate cocoa puffs
Crunchos.
Which sounds like a black cereal if you remember growing
right.
up.
Coconut,
there were all these
chocolate Crunchos.
These cereals that are, and then the wolf is stealing the kid's cereal because it's so good. But there's a twist. Even though it's a cartoon, there's a cop that arrests the wolf, the big bad wolf, and is like, he was stealing your cereal, right? And the kids are concerned. They're like, he can just have the cereal.
Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Because the treatment of the wolf was so atrocious. And it was just stop resisting and the whole nine. It
and
was
he's
just
got
a parody.
His, he's got his knee in his back, and yeah. then he's and he's and then he's
foot
telling
on the
him,
throat.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, he's saying, I'm a wolf. I could be eating these kids.
Except instead of eating kids,
I'm trying
actually
to eat some
cereal.
Like, I'm just hungry, man. Like,
and it was just like, and it's just once again, it shows that concept of Atlanta being the forefront of social conscious and relevant thought and making us have a conversation about it. Because once again, it didn't make us It didn't tell us how to think. It just showed us what to think about.
Not only that, but I also felt like when I saw that, there was just in the news, which, you know, coincidentally did not get a lot of coverage, where there was a child that is being brought up on charges and he's actually getting ready to go on trial because he was accused of stealing a 69-cent milk. When in actuality, what happened was he was going through the line to get lunch.
The lunch line.
Right. Did you read that story?
Yes, of course.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I thought of, was like, you know, they're making this big deal and they're bringing him up on charges.
We're prosecuting kids now and we're just enforcing. Kids can't be kids. There's the one video of like the kids on the bike and the police officer is arresting one of the kids on the bike because they were on the sidewalk. And then another one where this young lady was actually going through a mall, 14 years old, and the cop grabbed her by her hair and flung her into a car, arresting her, saying you're not allowed to ride your bike in the mall parking lot. And these are the things that we increasingly see. Right. So it's one of those things where I agree with Kelly. It's ridiculous at some points because kids can, we're not saying kids can be kids.
And I'm going to say this and then we're going to keep it back light and fluffy. But it, you know, again, with that particular child, he's being brought up on, you know, petty larceny.
Yep.
Petty larceny. They spelled it petty, but yeah, petty larceny. And there's no concern or consideration for this child's future, yet we have Brock Turner, who was given the lightest sentence of life
for rape
because of, you know, for fear of, you know, possibly ruining his future. So
there was another situation like that that recently came up. But I do want to remind everyone that it's not that we think Brock Turner should not go to jail and a black rapist shouldn't go to jail either. It's like everyone should go to jail for the same, like, for long terms.
The
for
sentences
doing
should be fair across the board, no matter who it is.
And that's something that Atlanta just showed in this little, it's a kid's cartoon, but because it portrayed a little more reality, it brought it to light. And it was very interesting. And we saw it with the Dodge Charger commercial and the other commercials that were played throughout it. In fact, we saw the return of Ahmaud White, who we did not know the name of, but we saw in the first episode on the bus when he gave Earn a sandwich and said, eat the sandwich.
And it
was a Nutella sandwich and he disappeared. And now we see that he's some type of almost cult leader-esque, right? He's
psychic, he's type,
psychic,
something.
Wise man who helps people. And you know what? It really works.
And not only that, but
really,
you also...
It really, works.
It does work. And you will get free juice and a Nutella sandwich.
And a Nutella sandwich. And all you have to do is call 1-260-33-QUEST.
He will help you find your chakras.
One of those mockings of that type of era and some of the pastors that exist in the black community once again. So we saw a lot of parody in this episode. The parody culminated into the show Montague, which I began talking about in the beginning of the conversation. But the Montague show, how'd you feel about that, though?
Man, okay. I love the comedic aspect of it. I love how they tried to put Paperboy in the corner, you know, but they couldn't put him in the corner without a fight.
Nobody puts Paperboy in a corner.
No, never. Never. And I liked the there was a lot of contradiction as they're talking about, you know, transgender and transracial, and then he's saying, okay, but he's also bringing up, okay, well, how does this pertain to me, and why is this important to me as a black man in America?
And it's something a lot of people in the black community especially thought about but weren't able to say. And that's what was the biggest point of the Montague show, is that people feel like they're not even allowed to say anything. We're coming off that weekend of Trump saying rude, lewd comments, and people are talking about, I can't believe he said that. And what we should be focusing on is the fact that we should be surprised he even thinks things like this, for regardless of being able to say them. So Paperboy makes an amazing point to Dr. Holt when he says, I don't care about their right. I'm not saying they shouldn't have equal rights. I'm just saying I should have the right to think it's weird if I want to or not. And,
right.
And Dr. Holt actually agrees with this, like it's freedom of speech.
And then the host gets in. He actually gets incensed.
Yeah, he's trying to inflame the situation. He didn't like the people agreeing, so he keeps trying to
talk bad about women.
Yeah, and you know what? He's just like, Not really. See, the concept is, in a situation of free speech, the way I personally feel is if you don't believe in freedom of speech for the people that you disdain, you do not actually believe in freedom of speech. That's how I feel. No matter what that speech is.
No, that's 100% correct.
As long as you're not hurting someone, or you can believe these things. You don't have to agree with everything. And yet we are increasingly going in a situation in a society where we have to be very careful and everything's eggshells and we have to agree with everything. And it started with the Caitlyn Jenner, because Caitlyn Jenner was a hot button topic last year.
Right.
Going into this year, where everyone was all of a sudden, you had to use proper pronouns and you had to be very sensitive to trans issues. And Paperboy brings up, well, how does this affect me? I just don't like it. I don't care if he does it. I don't like it for me.
Right. Like, he can do whatever he wants to do, but I don't care.
I don't have to like it.
I'm allowed to think it's weird.
And I actually agreed with that point, because you don't have to like it. You know, it's a point of view that you, or a perspective that you are able to take. And that's what makes this country great.
Right. Freedom of speech, freedom to protest. A lot of people miss that one. You know, you can protest, but you can't protest that way. I don't like the way you're protesting.
And that's the thing. And I just like, I always say to this, I say this to people, especially as a comedian, when I perform the Laugh Factory, I see a lot of comedians being very, like, treating very lightly on a lot of things. Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. And that's the thing. We find a society of where we're all offended all the time. And it comes down to when we saw that the transracial person, Harrison Booth, comes out and says, I'm a 35-year-old white man and I'm going to have the surgery and I'm going to change. And Paperboy, kind of poking fun at him when he sees him on screen, does not agree with trans, goes through this whole diatribe about how he's oppressed and people make fun of him and he doesn't like being bullied and all these things. And then goes on and says, Caitlyn Jenner, no, that's weird, that's wrong. And we see that just because one group is oppressed doesn't mean that they fight for the civil liberties of another group.
Yep.
And that's something that's very real. So we see that going on, and he doesn't believe in the rights for Caitlyn Jenner, even though he's asking for those exact same rights. And the Dr. Holt brings up the point, well, it's civil liberties, don't you think that you should care about civil liberties? And Paperboy also brings up the concept that, what is Caitlyn Jenner really doing? But it's white privilege. This is a white person who gets to live their life however they want.
Do whatever
she
wants.
It's the epitome. Exactly. Exactly. And it's the epitome of white privilege. So we see all of this jam-packed into one episode. Into this one episode.
Wrapped in a funny parody package.
And we didn't get to see Earn. Earn was off camera. We saw no Darius. There was no Vanessa. There weren't the usual suspects. This was an episode full of just thought and ideology and debate, and it caused us to talk about topics that, ironically, we were talking about right before the start of the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paperboy was making comments, and at the end, Dr. Holt, even though she was adamantly against it, laughed at the last comment.
Yeah.
And he was poking fun at Harrison Booth for,
right, 'cause at that
having
point,
bangs
he,
and being
right,
white.
He had on a blonde wig with bangs.
And it's just craziness to think that we separate ideas of transgender is a hot button topic and that's okay, but transracial is not okay. And even though they could both be psychological, we don't know enough about anything to know what's right or what's wrong. So this is a thing, like, and the most wrong part of the entire episode was just the show Montague. There was all types of right and all types of wrong.
Yeah, it was great. And again, I like the way they did it, where it was they wrapped it in a nice funny package, so it made it a little bit easier to digest, but it's still going to be something that's thought provoking and is going to cause you to want to have a conversation about it afterwards.
Definitely,
and it's very
my
intelligent humor. There's no one that can say anything bad about Atlanta when it comes to the humor. The humor is very intelligent.
I'm sure people are not going to be happy with, especially with this episode. It brought up a lot of topics and a lot of touchy topics, and it touched on them.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of fake outrage.
And the thing is,
fake outrage.
I mean, that's
mad.
The thing. We feel like we're supposed to be mad, so we act mad. And that's what it is. I want to know if you guys are actually mad. Please, down below, write those comments. Keep them coming. I love hearing from you. We respond. We love hearing what you think. I would ask for predictions, but honestly, I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't either. I have no predictions. I just, like he said, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on the DMs, hit us up on the mentions, hit us up on the comments of this video. Check us out. I also want to give a shout out to my boy G watching. Thank you.
Did you just give a shout out? Okay.
I did. I gave a shout out to my homeboy G. That's my Afghanistan comrade right
there.
That's
awesome right there. Find me at I Am Tehran. Find you at?
At Chaos J. K-A-A-O-S-J. You should already know.
Another episode in the books. Episode 7, B-A-N. Tune in next week for more Atlanta After Show here on AfterBuzz.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
We will buzz you.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.